NFL draft.
Hello and welcome to the Franchise Tag Podcast. Adam and I are back with another show talking about some of the draft prospects, and we are doing a combine review today. We were looking to do this on the Tuesday main show, but unfortunately we couldn't all get together. So we're getting together to do a little bit later than expected to go through it. Adam, the combine, there's a lot of people really split on this event. There's a lot of people in the camp of it's a waste of time. It's just there as a television show to get ratings and things like that. And there is a lot of people that I've been listening to and a bit more saying, no, there is some worth in this. And they feel it's getting better and improving slightly in what it is in evaluating players. Where do you stand on the combine?
Yeah, I kind of gave it a bit of a bad rap, I think. For a long time, I've very much been like, I think this is a load of rubbish and it's just a bunch of guys running around in their underwear, and it's just like, this is, it's not game time. I've always been very much, it's the tape that tells you the most. I'll get a lot more from seeing someone going up against someone in an actual game, having to make game time decisions, compared to just being in a empty stadium half the time and stuff like that. And just, but I do feel, especially the more that we've been doing this and stuff like that, I do feel like it brings a different type of pressure. And I think that that's maybe quite a useful tool for coaches and scouts and people to work out who is actually capable and who will be able to do stuff. There is an argument with game time is that you get into the flow of a game and that you kind of get into that rhythm. And once you get into that rhythm, well, you're in a much better place. And so therefore it's just normal for these guys. This isn't like that, obviously. This is literally like, right, you get one go at this. You don't get another snap. You get one go at it. And if you do it wrong, you've done it wrong. And chances are you're going to end up going a lot further down the draft board. And so I think it does bring a different form of pressure, which is kind of interesting to see. I think it's quite an interesting spectacle to watch, but I think it has its place. I just don't think that it's necessarily the be all and end all.
Yeah, I think with me, where I'm sat on it, and this is the divide I'm getting from it and have to pick a side, is I don't think the combine is for the fans necessarily. You're not watching the combine to go, oh yeah, I'm going to move someone up in my mock draft because they did well at the combine. I don't think that's what it's there for. But I think in terms of if you're evaluating players and you're looking to pick them for your team, I think the whole thing is really, really good. And I think they don't actually show you the most important part of it. You know, they're there for the whole week, but they don't start the television part till the drills start and you miss the medical testing and you miss the interviews. And I find the interview process, because the clips come out later from that, that that's a really, really important part of it. For the coaches are all there to, the first time, be in front of this guy, because all through his college show season, it's the scouts and people that are getting there. The head coaches and the assistant coaches are getting their first chance to ask him a question and see his response. I think in terms of drafting a player for your team, that's really, really important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it would be quite interesting to see some of that. I mean, it's like that would be certainly something different. Like you say, though, it's probably not so much for the viewer. It's probably more for the scouts, for the coaches, to a certain extent for the media. I wouldn't go as far to say that we are media, but I suppose we are kind of like a modern version of it, and so that's probably why we would find that kind of thing interesting as well. And I think that them sort of things would be worth looking at. But yeah, I mean, there was a figure, wasn't there, that came out, the amount of people that watched it was quite low. It was, compared to other stuff with the NFL. So, but like you say, it's not so much. I think the majority of NFL fans are only, they'll watch the draft because they want to see what players that their team's going to take on. But when it comes to testing of rookies and stuff like that, I don't think it's necessarily what they're desperately wanting to see, even without any games going on.
Now, for us at the Franchise Tag, and maybe other people doing a very similar thing, when we're evaluating the players to put into our mock drafts or discuss them in mock or our prospects, we've said that there's a quite a good depth of some of the positions, good depth at O-line, good depth at wide receiver, good depth at cornerback. Adam, once you get past the consensus number one guys, number two guys, it's very hard, even if you watch all of the tape, to go, I like four other guys, and you like all of their tape and you like everything they did in college. So you're then looking of how do I measure who is better? And this, the combine then can become what defines, what pushes you that one position higher in the draft. And I think that's where I'm feeling that this, the combine is really integral, because it splits the hairs, doesn't it, of the guys that you're really unsure on because you like them all.
Yeah, it does. It kind of, I suppose it's almost like you can come out and say, I think that guy's really good because of what he did, sort of thing. It sort of almost gives you another thing to be able to say. It's not just the tape. It's like, oh, he can test well as well. I mean, I suppose at the end of the day, if you can do both, then you're probably going to be very good, sort of thing. And that's what everyone wants. So that's what it is. But yeah, I think, like you say, it highlights a few other players that maybe don't get highlighted as much during this college season as well, which kind of like, it's a good thing, because sometimes you do get these guys who are sort of like, they play on these teams that don't get as much coverage and you don't see them as much. And then, but they've done well for their team. But obviously people come out and go, oh yeah, but it's not like in this conference or it's not in that conference. And it's like, you know, it's for a small school, so obviously he was going to look good, you know, because he didn't have any competition on his own team either and things like that. So you get quite a lot of that. So I think it gives you the opportunity to see these guys that are also, you know, they're talented in their own right and probably deserve to be up against these other big school team players, and that they're more than capable. So yeah, I think that's probably the benefit of it.
And just before we jump into some of our winners and losers and some of the entertaining things that we saw, one last debate that a lot of people have been talking about. There was a lot of sit-outs this year. A lot of the quarterbacks didn't participate in anything. Some of the wide receivers and various other people picking and choosing what drills they were going to do and what they weren't going to do. Adam, where's your stance on this? Do you think that... you know, everybody should join in because it's kind of like if one person's got to, everyone should? Or do you understand that if you're going to be the number one pick, you can only go down in value if you mess up at the combine? So why, you know, why make your stock go down?
I'd argue if you're good enough, then you shouldn't have a problem doing it myself. I think if you're more than, if you're so good, then why not? I can understand maybe there are, you could argue, oh yeah, but I might injure myself in some way. So I can understand that as a criticism of doing it. But I mean, I'd be surprised if you injured yourself in such a horrific way that it would make such a big difference. I kind of get it. I get why some of them move off of it. I mean, the likes of Caleb Williams doesn't really need to do it, does he? Because we all know what's going to happen. But it kind of feels a little bit like it would be nice if they all did it, but I probably think we're not in that world anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's nice to have the measure of the people that are participating to the people that are number one, to have like a,
yeah,
how far are they behind Caleb Williams? We don't know because we've just got his tape from college. But yeah, I understand it. If you can't improve your draft stock, what's the point? There's no real value to it. But there is people there, Xavier Worthy, you know, he has participated. And the reason he has participated and done this, because everyone knew he was quick and everyone knew that he was good. He's not got anything to prove in that respect. But the time that he put out maybe have earned him another £2-3 million by going a few picks higher or the whatever wide receiver is off the board. So if you're not the consensus number one, there's definitely value in participating, even though people know you're rapid quick.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, like you say, for players like that, it makes complete sense as to why you'd do it. It is probably just the guys that are so far up already that it doesn't really matter. But I mean, they do take I mean, there's a quarterback that I've put down as a loser because he didn't bother to turn up. I the way that it's going at the moment, it does feel very much like that. I know a lot of it is mock drafts, and but you're getting people talking to insiders, and they're coming out and hearing that this is what they think is going to happen. And I do feel like he's potentially going to slip down, not a lot, but like a little bit because of it. And so, that does kind of cause a bit of an issue. And maybe if he had turned up, it wouldn't have happened.
Well, you'd say there's a quarterback that might be slipping a little bit. Let's jump into the positions and who our winners and losers are. And we'll go straight in with the quarterback, Adam. Anybody that stood out to you really liked, or anybody that's really failed?
Yeah, so for me, the winner, I think, and this is purely because there was a lot of talk that he was not going to be picked in the first round, and it pains me to say it because you're going to bloody love it. Michael Penix. I just thought Michael Penix had a great combine. He looked really, really good. Every single throw was an absolute dime to where it needed to go. The spiral on the ball every time. Just look, he's not going to be the most athletic quarterback. That's not his game. But if you just have him in the pocket, he can maneuver around really well. And I just thought he had a really good combine, really solid. I'm not saying that he is, but I just sort of thought to myself, oh, there's a Denver at 12, and Sean Payton had Drew Brees for all them years, and he didn't run around much. He was in the pocket and just maneuvered his way around. And I just sort of thought at number 12, you probably wouldn't have to move to get him. And I was just like, he's definitely a first round quarterback. He definitely is.
Yeah, you've heard me all year saying how the big thing I like about him is he's a great passer of the ball. Not saying, oh yeah, he's the best thrower, the best passer, and I think that means more to me than Joe Milton throwing the ball 70 yards down the field. Who another guy that I did like. Yeah, I think he had a great combine. That you saw a lot of the big analysts there really getting excited about that spiral and the way that he throws the ball. So yeah, I think he's helped his draft stock slightly. You're not the back-to-back passing yard machine that he was 2 years in a row with good tape to drop down the draft. I don't think, he's a very talented guy, and people shouldn't pass up the opportunity just because he had some injuries early in his college career. So yeah, it'd be a really, really good player to pick. Anyone else, Adam, at the quarterback position?
Just Drake May, just to drop down. It does feel like he's dropping down a bit. When I was looking at the odds, it seems like Jaden Daniels has kind of taken over that market now as the number two guy. Not by a lot, but just a little bit compared to what it was. There's talk that the Patriots have come out and said that basically if Jaden Daniels isn't at number three, then they're going to trade out of the position. And it just kind of all feels a little bit like actually, I think a combine performance might have helped him a little bit. There's a lot of talk about that they just don't feel that he's quite as good as maybe what they've seen before, which I feel is a bit of a shame. There's been lots of comparisons to Will Levis, which I just kind of feel was a bit lazy more than anything else. More just because he had a really good second year, and then in his last year in college, it didn't quite happen as well. But then he lost a lot of players, but then that was like Will Levis, you see. And this is the thing, it kind of just feels all a little bit like that's where they're going with it. And I do feel like if he had participated, then maybe that it would have helped a little bit, because I mean, you look at the tape and it's all there, it really is. But it does just feel like it's all starting to sort of fall down the board a little bit with him.
Yeah, it's really odd that you can have that season that you had, and you can be projected, and people say that if Caleb Williams wasn't in this draft, then May would be the number one pick by far, and that's the sort of the chat all season. And then we have the combine, and he doesn't participate, and all of a sudden he's tumbling down boards. I'm not sure whether it's just a bit of smoke and mirrors there for this, or whether there's any truth behind it at all, just trying to move his stock down. Maybe we mentioned this before, but we spoke about it. Maybe that there's some of the reporters and things that are close to the teams just below leak these stories and put it out in the air just to make that guy drop a bit lower in the draft to their team. I can see that happening quite a bit. We see it year on year with these stories, and some are bought into and some aren't. Adam, Bo Nix for me interviewed really, really well and had a really, I thought he just had a nice solid combine. But the people, this was said, the interview process, they should go back and watch. I feel like that's a really key part. We saw it in previous years. Joe Burrow didn't participate and he interviewed really, really well. And people said the way that he spoke and the way that he talked was the reason that they were all in on him and knew that they'd have no problem with him. So thoughts on Bo Nix as well?
Yeah, I thought, again, solid, I think, was probably the right word. He's another one who could, you know, it feels like he's certainly got the potential to be a first round quarterback. I think he did well at the combine. I don't think he did. I think the problem he is probably finding is that he's not the most athletic guy. He's also not the best passer of the ball. He's also not the best thrower of the ball. He's not the, really, he's not the best at anything, but he's just solid all round. So it's going to be very much whether or not there's a team out there that wants a guy like that. I think he could be first round, but I feel like he's the one net, certainly after the combine, I feel like he's the one who might end up pushing out a bit, just purely because to me, I think the teams will go, okay, well, this guy's not great at this, but he's really, really good at this. And so we can lean on that and deal with that. I feel like Bo Nix doesn't quite have that about him with anything. And so that's why I think he might drop out. But I mean, we did the Joel Klatt mock, didn't we? And he had all six in the first round. It really wouldn't shock me at all.
And then also JJ McCarthy, you know, once he decided he was going to declare for the draft, he started to shoot up people's boards. And then everyone, the build up to the combine has kind of been all about him and where he's going to land and how high he's going to go on the board. So the combine for me was supposed to be his thing to push him even higher and up with those other three names that we've been talking about. But he didn't have a bad combine. It just didn't live up to expectation for me, for what people were saying for him. Do you feel the same, Adam, or are you still high on him?
No, I was pretty much the same as you. I found it quite, there was a lot of throws that were overthrown. And just wasn't great compared to the other guys. I was a little surprised by that, considering all the hype. There still is loads of hype about him. There's a lot of talk about the Vikings wanting him. There's a lot of talk about the fact that if you want him, you're going to have to trade up for him. That he's almost a guaranteed top 10 pick. It just feels very sort of, for a guy who's not really done a lot, it does feel like a lot. And I just kind of felt like the combine performance, as you say, it was okay, but that's about it. And I don't feel like he did anything to really boost his credentials of being a top 10 pick at all. I if anything, I thought he probably dropped out of being a top 10 pick with some of it. I mean, you see some of the throws, you know, because some of the passing wasn't accurate. It just wasn't. Yeah. And the thing is like, that's what everyone comes out and goes, well, all he did was just pass the ball off. It's like, well, then you need to show that you're capable of passing as well. And it just wasn't there. And certainly not when you had the likes of Penix next to him, or you had the likes of Bo Nix, who was solid next to him. It just kind of felt like a bit of a drop off.
Yeah, I think the only thing that he overperformed in was the ball speed test. He had a bit more zip than everyone thought he was going to have. But when you've got the most rested arm out of all the quarterbacks in there, you probably are going to throw it a bit quicker. There's one more before we move on to the running backs. Joe Milton obviously displayed what we all knew he was going to do, throw the ball further than anyone has ever thrown it down the field before. Adam, do you think that's enough for people to go, whoa, there's something in this guy. I'm going to maybe draft him, or do you think this is where the combine becomes a bit silly when you're evaluating the players?
I mean, it is a little bit gimmicky because it's not really going to happen very often in an actual NFL game. But I do think it probably will be enough to get him drafted. I think there's going to be someone out there is going to have a seventh round pick and they're going to go, well, I ain't got anyone else to put it on. Let's just chuck it on him. And you never know. We might be able to coach him so that he gets a bit better in different areas and things like that. He's definitely worth a pick. But I wouldn't be paying too much for him.
Yeah, I think if you go back and watch the tape, there is some talent there. There is some good skills. They just need refining. Adam, we move on to the running backs, a position that there's not really been a consensus overall number one for sure. And people are saying that it's not quite the depth that we've seen in previous years. But I feel for me, there was one guy that maybe put himself above the rest from the combine. Are you got anybody in mind that you think has pushed away slightly, or do you think this is still an open game here?
I think it is still pretty open, to be honest. There's a lot of them I think showed. There wasn't many losers in the running back side of it, I didn't feel. The only one really that I kind of felt like really struggled and was Bucky Irving. I felt like he was the one who kind of fell away a bit. He had a 4.55 at his 40 time, which it's not slow, but considering his size, you would hope that his speed would be a lot quicker than that. So he was the one that I felt struggled a little bit. Obviously, Isaac Garendo is kind of a guy that we have not really spoken about that much out of Louisville, you know, 4.33, quickest 40, but he was really good in the other things as well. He had a 41.5 inch vertical, 10.9 broad jump, you know, that was second out of the whole class. So he had a really good day all in general. So I thought he did well. I still don't see him he won't be the first one off the board. He's still going to be a day three pick, but I thought he did well. Ray Davis, been saying it for ages. Unfortunately, everyone seems to be getting on board now, which I don't like. But he had a decent day. Not the best, but he had a really good one. But the one that I kind of felt like, and again, this isn't that any of the sort of like, it's not your Braylon Allen, Trey Benson, and any of them names. But the one that I felt like we've started to kind of hear a bit of buzz about is Jalen Wright. And he was the one for me who kind of pushed himself further away. 4.38 40, 11.2 broad jump. That's the, you know, was the number one. Even 38 vertical wasn't bad. So, yeah, I mean, I felt like he had a really good combine, Jalen Wright. He's one that I think you're going to see a lot of people are going to, I think he's going to move up boards quite a lot. I think maybe a couple of these guys might go day two, but I do think the majority of this is going to be in the fourth round, personally. I just think the way that the NFL values the position now, this is what's going to happen with running backs, and they're just not going to get the day two capital. But yeah, I feel like Jalen Wright has pushed himself up quite a lot.
Yeah, I think Jalen Wright's a massive winner in this. Obviously, we did our running back prospects, and he didn't quite make our top 10. Obviously, we spoke about him. Me and you have spoke about him. We didn't quite make that top 10 on our list. And I think he's in that now. I think he's with this performance and his tape and what his stats that he did at college, he's going to push himself into that, maybe as high as in the top five for this. I think that's where people are now going to be starting talking about him. But for me, I felt like Trey Benson really showed up and really showed. We had him at three on our list. I think we had Henderson still on it because he hadn't declared at the time, so maybe a little bit higher, but I think he really showed that his worth and what he can do with last year's tape. This combine, I think he's pushed him in a different bracket to some of the others who just had nice combines. So I thought Marshawn Lloyd also had a really, really good combine. Just needs to sort those fumble issues out and he will be fine as well. Adam, was there anyone else at the running back position that really caught your eye?
Not really. That was kind of the main ones. I felt like Braylon Allen didn't do amazing. He kind of struggled a little bit with a lot of the stuff that he did do. He didn't do a 40, did he, either, which was kind of a bit of a concern. I do feel like when they turn up but they won't do everything, that does make you wonder why. It's like, why did you bother turning up, kind of thing. So that was a bit of a concern that he didn't do that. But no, I just feel like you say, I felt like Trey Benson had a good day as well. I felt like we kind of expected that from Trey Benson. I didn't really feel like he did anything too outlandish. But yeah, it's really, there's a lot of guys here that you could do. And I just felt like a lot of them kind of kept their status quo a little bit. They didn't really move much, so.
I think there's a lot of people out there saying that they thought that Audric Estime was a loser for the running backs based on the fact that he was the slowest.
Slow, wasn't he?
In the 40, and his splits weren't good. But he's not that type of running back. You know, he's a big, run it down the middle guy. And I think you shouldn't call him a loser, because when you look at the explosive drills that he took part of, the vertical and the broad, he was towards that top four, top five ranking. You know, he had a 38 in the vertical, and he had a 10-4 in the broad. So the explosive ones he was fantastic in. It was just that speed, but that's not what type of running back he is. So I don't think people should be press the panic button on Estime just yet, just because he wasn't the quickest in the 40-yard dash. Adam, wide receivers. We had a lot of excitement with the wide receivers, mainly being the fact that Xavier Worthy broke the record for the 40. Big news in that. Took a while for it to be confirmed, but he got there in the end. I thought there was a lot of interesting drills and players that sort of have really helped their draft stock in this. Are you in agreement with that?
Yeah, there was quite a few. I do feel it's very difficult to get away from the two Texas guys, I have to say. Obviously Worthy with the 4.21, but also, you know, he had the 41 vertical as well, which was really good. There's a lot of hype about him being a first round pick now. This is what it is. I do feel like the hype has kind of gone slightly over the top. We all knew he was quick, but now we seem to be counting it as though he's quick, like it's an insane amount of, it's like we've gone from, oh, we knew he's fast, so we had him ranked here, but now he's up here just because we know he's fast. So it's it is a weird one, but I do think he's probably a first round pick now. Maybe shouldn't be, to be brutally honest, but I do think that he will be. I think Adonai Mitchell, as I said, the other Texas guy, he's 6'2" and 205 pounds, but he did a 4.35. I mean, that to me, that's way more impressive than the 4.21. And also, I think will translate a lot better to the NFL. So that was good. He had an 11.4 broad jump, which was the second in the whole class. So, you know, it's difficult to get away from them two. I felt like they were the two that had a really, really good day. The only loser that I sort of came up with, and I kind of feel it, it's a difficult one. I think that he's been painted out as a loser just because I think there was so much hype before, was Troy Franklin. He didn't run as fast as what I think everyone thought. He looked a bit less refined than everyone thought. He was a lot lighter than what he was sort of like put down for Oregon. You know, he was 176 he weighed in at, and I think everyone thought he was going to be kicking on towards 190. Which is a bit of an issue. So yeah, I think with all of that, his 40 time wasn't that bad. He'd had a 4.41. I mean, it really wasn't dreadful. It's just that everyone thought it was going to be faster. So I think that was the issue with him. But I think because of that, he was really the only one I would say is a, you know, a sort of loser, I suppose. But I actually thought the wide receiver class kind of showed us what we thought the wide receiver class is, and it's just a very strong depth of quality, and that's what they all are.
Yeah, I think that Franklin's classed as a loser, because when you're talking about Xavier Worthy and you're saying, oh, I think he's moved himself into maybe the back end of the first round, you're looking at the Chiefs, aren't you? That's what you're talking about, really.
Yeah.
And Franklin's been notched in there for majority of this mock draft season. because they felt that that was the best fit and he was the best player for it. And now I think you now go in, well, Worthy would be a great candidate for that, for the Chiefs. You know, he's got that speed, he's got that vertical, he can do the contested catches with that vertical. So I think that's why we're classing maybe Franklin as a bit of a loser in this round. I think a lot of people are also saying that Keon Coleman was a loser. Again, another guy that tested out as the slowest of all of the wide receivers in this. But then maybe people are just looking online and looking at what he's done in the ones that you can see, because in the gauntlet, where he's catching the balls and running, he clocked the fastest time of everyone there. So I think people need to make sure they go back and watch the full combine, because I feel that measuring that for him of catching the ball and in-play speed is probably more valuable than running a straight line in the 40.
Yeah, I think another thing with Keon Coleman, and I'm not exactly his biggest fan, you do have to remember he's a big guy. You know, he's not, to be brutally honest, Xavier Worthy and his weight and his height, he couldn't be made any better to do a 40 time. Like, he really couldn't. Keon Coleman is not that guy. He's completely different build. And so you have to understand that, okay, yeah, it was a lot slower, but he's massive compared to him. You know, it's like, this is what you're going to get. So you're not all going to get the same. And I think the other thing with Keon Coleman is that from what I've seen of the tape anyway, I feel like he doesn't have that initial burst, but he has long, he keeps going. He has long speed. That's the thing for him. And like I said, I'm not his biggest fan, but at least I can see that he has that in potential sort of thing in him. You were never going to get an amazing 40 time from him because it just wasn't going to happen. But yeah, I do agree. I think a lot of people did go on a bit of a negative about him. I think Ladd McConkey had a good combine. I thought he did all right. A lot of people were hyping him up a bit more than what they were before. There's a lot of talk about, oh, are we going to get 7? Are we going to get 8? Are we going to get 9 wide receivers in the first round? I really don't see it myself. I just don't think the teams need, I don't think a lot of these teams need to do it. I think they're going to be in the second round. So why use them in the first? There's so much depth here. Mm-hmm. It really is crazy.
I think the depth of the wide receiver is what's going to damage the value of it being a first round. I think a lot of people are going to go, oh, I'll just wait on the first round. I won't bother because there's depth. I'll get them later on. I think they might damage themselves there. But if there was a select few and it dropped off quickly, people would be going, no, we need to get into the first round to take one of these guys. But so I think they might damage their own value there. There was another guy for me I thought had a really, really good combine. And I think during the prospect stage of it, I really liked him. So we finished the college. I was like, I like this guy. Then he's been forgotten about completely. And then I feel like he showed up at the combine and people might sit up and say, yeah, you know. And that's Xavier Leggett. I think he had a great combine. And as I said, backing it up with the stats that he put on last year, I think people might start having a relook at him and getting back on that hype and talking about him with the other guys as well.
Yeah, big guy as well. Like, you know, big bodied guy, had some real speed to him. And just looked very solid with everything that he did. Yes, definitely. Again, I think he was another one who I think was being included in all these sort of wide receivers that could make the first round. But yeah, he was definitely one that had an impressive combine. There was loads. There really was. And, it goes to show that it's... you don't need them first round picks in fantasy this year. You can have the second round ones, you'll be fine.
just two more little things on the wide receivers before we move on to tight ends. Tez Walker obviously had a stinker at the Senior Bowl. People stopped talking about it. People went, he's no longer round one worthy. Had a nice combine. Do you think that's enough for him to to forget about how bad he was at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, I don't know if it's enough to forget. I think it's probably more that it will just bring him back to a sort of a level field, maybe as to what he was that actually did. Maybe people will look at it and just go, oh, he had a bad couple of days at the Senior Bowl. But I think there's still going to be teams with question marks over him.
And then lastly, just on the wide receivers, Roma Dunze, obviously lots of people talking about him, lots of people saying how he could be the number two, definitely the number three. He's not going to be any lower than that. How impressed were you with him in the fact that when it came to the three-cone drill, he stayed out there, he was the last guy on there, and he was determined to, even though he didn't have to, he had a time, it wasn't bad, but he, in himself, he knew that he could do better, and he stayed out there until he got the time that he felt like he wanted. Does that show his work ethic and what type of guy you're going to get once you've got him at your team?
Yeah, he's a tenacious little bugger, isn't he? he didn't want to come in until he'd done it. Yeah, I think that tells you a lot. I think the fact that he turned up tells you a lot as well. You know, this is like we were saying about the quarterbacks and turning up and things like that. You know, Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers didn't. They didn't need to, but they probably didn't. I think you could have thrown Odunze in with him. He didn't need to, but he wanted to, and he wanted to show what he was capable of and basically be like, well, look, this is what I can do. And he wasn't happy until he did everything that he wanted to do, which is, you know, that's it does show tenacity, and it does show that he's just going to be determined no matter what to get the job done. And I think it probably does make a lot of teams, especially teams who maybe value that kind of sort of like team building and sort of like, you know, the Lions and everything with Dan Campbell. I mean, it just screams of it, doesn't it? It's that kind of thing. Obviously, he'll go a long time before they pick, but like, if he could get in with someone else like that, then yeah, I think he would be ideal for him.
Yeah, talent and work ethic is just a must. So, you know, I think that's fantastic for him. Tight ends. Adam, we had a late addition on our prospects for the tight ends. And aren't I glad we added him, because he had a stormer of a combine. And I think his testing figures even came out once he put it all into the database that he is the most athletic tight end that's performed at the combine. I think Kraft was... had a good one as well, but I think this has shown what an athlete this guy is. Maybe, you know, maybe that doesn't translate into being the best tight end, but athletically, wow, impressive.
Yeah, I think when it comes to tight end, there wasn't really that much to talk about apart from Theo Johnson. I think that he was the only one that we really need to talk about. 6'6", 259 pounds, ran a 4.59, which is pretty crazy. 39-inch vertical. Yeah, he just looked very athletic, very good. I felt like Ben Sinnott had a good day as well, in fairness. But I have to say, I kind of felt like Sanders kind of did everything that I thought he would. Jaheim Bell kind of did everything that I thought he would. And then Theo Johnson was the one who I think really propelled himself to probably be about the same as Bell, maybe a little bit below, but around that mark when it comes to the tight ends, I think now. But yeah, I mean, there wasn't really much else that I really saw from the tight ends, but yeah, he's the one who I think a late round tight end here, because a lot of these tight ends, it was a little bit like, don't even know if some of these guys are going to get drafted. So I think the fact that he's done this, I think he's pretty much guaranteed that he will.
I thought Cade Stover showed that he was a bit more athletic than what people have been.
That's fair. Yeah.
The only other thing to say from the tight ends really is probably Holker, who managed to catch two balls at once.
Yes.
You know, impressive. Catching one's difficult enough, but you know, running around and catching another one, fair play to him.
I mean, you could argue maybe he should have dropped the first one, but I'm just saying. You know.
Adam, we move on to O-line. Again, another position that we've said, there's a load of depth in this. And I felt like all of the guys that we were, you know, we said at the start of the show, you know, when you like the tape on so many people, but you're still unsure. So you go to the combine to kind of split hairs. I thought all five of the big guys that we're really talking about all showed up and all performed to their ability. Adam, no real losers here.
No, I didn't have anyone as a loser, really. I thought Holt looked amazing. I thought Fotanu looked, Fashanu, Fuanga, all these guys, beginning with F, they're all amazing. The only thing that shocked me was Fashanu's hands, 8.5. I mean, I'm not sure, but like, I was like, really? Is that it? I mean, he's like 6 foot 6, isn't he? And he's massive. So yeah, that was a bit of a surprise, but no, they were all amazing. And the O-line group is just, again, we were talking about depth with some of the others. The O-line group is amazing as well, and really strong. So yeah, I mean, those were the four really for me that I just thought were really, really good. But yeah, I mean, there's not really any negatives on any of them.
No, thought Guyton had a really good
Yeah.
combine as well. Also think Mims tested well. Looks, I've seen the pictures of him just standing with the crowds, with the media. He's so much taller than like everyone. He's just a monster. Yeah, so really impressed with all of the O-line. As I said, can't really. I think there was something went out online, didn't it? With the stat that we should really take look at the shuttle times, because they put the top shuttle times that have been recorded by offensive linemen over ever, and in this list of like the top 20, 30 people, only two of them were busts, and all the rest became fantastic players for their franchises, and they weren't necessarily first round picks. So when you take that into consideration, do you think people like Tanner Bortolini, then, who had the 4.28 in the shuttle, as maybe pushed himself up in the ranks of this, and maybe people will take him a lot higher than expected?
I mean, I don't know if they'll take them that high, but I just think just the sheer depth of the O-line will mean that these guys who are a little bit further back are going to be considered higher than maybe what they would have been otherwise. You know, if it had been a weak class at the top, then everyone's going to go, oh, well, these guys must can't be very good. I think because these guys at the top are like elite, I mean, some of these guys are elite, you know, it's crazy how good they are. I think because of that, you're then going to get these other guys who are going to come up as well, just purely from association of being in the same class and showing like, well, hang on, if they can do that, these guys who are amazing are doing this, and it's not that far off, then they will get that sort of like association to them. But yeah, I just think, like I say, I just think the depth again in this is very, very good.
We move on to the D line, Adam. Again, another position that I felt there wasn't particularly many losers. The guys that we wanted to evaluate stepped up. They all had good aspects of the combine. How did you feel about the D line?
So the only guy who I felt you could argue lost a little bit, and his 40 time was a bit pedestrian, and the other thing was is that he's lost a ton of weight, and we spoke about this when we did when we spoke about the like Braylon Trice, about his how much he has lost. I mean, he's lost like over 50 pounds, I believe. He ran a 4.72. It's not awful. It's just it's a bit slow compared to others, and so he was the only one that I was a little bit like, not too sure about. Winners again, like you say, all the top guys were really good. I thought Chop Robinson's time of 4.48 was very, very impressive. Just goes to show what we were saying about him being on the edge, going around the outside. He's going to have that speed to get around there. The only other guy, moving away from the edge rushers, Braden Frisk from Florida State. I thought he did very well. 292 pounds. He ran a 4.78. His short shuttle was 4.37, which is faster than Aaron Donald's was. So he was someone who I thought was very impressive during the testing. they were kind of the two that I felt like were, I think Chop Robinson, we kind of expected the speed a little bit, but yeah, I thought Frisk did very well for the, you know, defensive tackle.
I think one guy that's, I think you could argue that maybe Dallas Turner might have had the best combine of the guys that we're really talking about.
Yeah. But
I think you could say that Liatu Latu, who we said is the best technically gifted edge rusher in the whole thing, and oh, maybe his downfall is he's not as quick and isn't that talented with the speed, showed that he had got athletic ability at the combine.
Yeah, he hit every measurable that he needed to hit. That was the thing. I think there was, I suppose in that respect, that probably makes him the winner out of the top three, because that was the one criticism of him. There was a lot of concern about whether or not he was going to have that athletic ability, and he doesn't have it compared to the others. The other two, he doesn't have it, but he was still fast enough and quick enough during every single trial to show that he can hit the right measurables to be a really, really top quality edge rusher. And yeah, he, like I said, any team's going to be happy to get him.
Yeah, and then I also think, just to make a point that before we move on, that Byron Murphy again did what we thought he was going to do and had a very good combine, probably showcased himself again how talented he is to people that might have missed him.
Yeah, I thought he did really well. Again, another player that just looked really, really solid and is going to be a first-round pick for sure. It'd be shocking if he's not. So, yeah, again, really, really good.
The linebackers, Adam, probably a position that no one's really overly talking about when it, in terms of the draft. A bit of a forgotten position in maybe in the NFL as well. One guy showed his athletic ability, and he's a guy that, if you haven't seen much about him, he's got some really good strong tape as well, and that was Peyton Willis.
Yeah, I thought he looked good. I didn't really have much in the way of winners or losers for linebackers. I just kind of felt like he looked solid. He was one that I kind of thought would be the top of the class anyway, and I felt like he kind of showed that he was definitely an NFL player ready to happen. But it's a little bit, it's difficult, isn't it, a linebacker. They just don't get drafted high, and so I think it's going to be, they're kind of the running back of the defense, aren't they, really? They're just sort of like no one wants them at a high price.
Yeah, well, also we mentioned it when we were talking about the edge rushers, and our prospects showed that there's that new breed of hybrid linebacker edge rusher, and they've just got more value than you sort of linebackers that might move back into sort of safety-ish sort of positions. Well, and that being said, Adam, let's move on to the defensive backs. Again, another position that we said, we think there's a lot of depth at this. We think there's a lot of guys that could go in round one. How did you feel about the defensive backs at the combine?
Yeah, so I've kind of felt like, I mean, corner is, again, just filled with so many guys that look so athletic, so quick. I personally felt it was very difficult. And we kind of knew, I felt like we knew this was going to happen. It's difficult to get away from Quinion Mitchell. It really is at the moment. He ran a 4.33, which was second in the class. We saw him at the Senior Bowl and everything that he did there. It was just constant. It really was. He was just top of everything and just looked so good. But there's so many guys who look solid. I mean, Cooper DeJean looked good. I thought that Nate Wiggins looked really good. There's so many of them. And then one other who I feel like isn't getting much, but had an amazing combine. Probably, arguably, if you put it all together, you could argue almost like best for the whole of the corners, I felt, was Max Mountain out of Rutgers. Just really, really good. He ran a 4.39, vertical was 40.5 inch, broad jump was 11.4. He's not going to go in the first round. He's going to be a day two pick. But he's someone that a lot of people just weren't really talking about at all. And I think he's got himself a day two pick. I really do. I'd be surprised if he's not. Hopefully he comes to Green Bay and he can join up with Bo. So yeah, I just thought that I thought he looked really, really good. And I didn't really have any losers, to be honest.
Oh, I
I
had a
thought,
loser.
oh, did you? Okay. I
Yeah.
didn't have many. I didn't have many. I just kind of felt like that everyone was very solid, but I probably missed a few.
Yeah. My loser was Kalen King, who's someone that I
Okay.
felt was I thought he was in the chat with the top five guys during the season. I thought he plays well before the season started for the college guys. He was up there being talked about. Could he push himself into that top three sort of category? Just had a bit of a down season. But then he didn't perform very well at the combine. And I think he may be forced to change to safety. I don't think he's going to, with that 40 time as well, I think that he's going to have to rethink what position he might be best suited at the NFL.
Where did you have him going though?
What do you mean?
Well, like in the draft, where did you think he was going to go? Because he wasn't a first round pick, was he?
Prior to the when the season was ongoing and he was at seeing him at Penn State, I had him as first round quality. It's only since
Okay.
the season's finished and sort of Senior Bowl and then stuff like that his size and now his speed and things like that, I'm going, you know what, he isn't, there's so many more people that are better than him. Because I did have him as first round quality before the season started. It's just not, he's let himself down. He was up there and he's just not managed to push through. And he's now no longer in the questions for being first round talent. I also thought, Ryan Watts also performed really, really strongly in the three cone and the shuttle. And if I have to talk about Texas players being really good at drills, I think that's what we can say from this. They are coached very, very well. It's a lot of Texas guys performing well at the combine. So yeah, a note to that as well. Was there any of the safeties or anything that you had your eye on or thought were good? It's just, again,
I
another
really
one.
didn't, to be honest. I just kind of felt like they were all very, they kind of did what I thought they would. I didn't really, I don't think anyone really excelled in my view. I just thought it was just a pretty solid set of guys that kind of landed where I thought they would. So yeah, it wasn't, it's a difficult one. It's kind of, it feels like safety linebacker at the moment. It's just not, there's not a lot in it, which is probably why you are, it's funny because you're seeing a massive amount of veteran safeties up for grabs. But there's not really anyone coming through that I feel like is that great this year. So I don't know. I feel like everyone's just going to swap their safeties a little bit.
All in all, then, Adam, a successful combine, I'd go by. Definitely, like I said, if anybody's taken anything from this, watch it and watch it in depth. Don't just go online and look at people's scores. Watch the other drills. I really like the graphics that when they put the ghost graphics up against the other people, I feel like that's
Yeah.
really interesting. And then they put the speeds and things on for things like the gauntlet, so you can see on-field speed as well. So yeah, and go back and watch the interviews and see which guys you like and people that talk well and have got passion for the game. We've talked about people like Brady and his passion for the game, and that being another tick in the box that puts you higher. Adam, you enjoy you, overall successful combine.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought that, like I say, I kind of agree with what you're saying. It's like, unfortunately, I think a lot of people, what they see is the 40 time. That seems to be how they've kind of packaged it for television, and that's it. And they're just not really showing a lot else. But you can see so much. You can get highlights of every single player from the NFL websites and stuff like that. There's loads that you can see. I thought it was really good. I thought there was a lot of players that you saw and that you didn't quite know. Oh, you're like, it kind of it broadens out your knowledge of all the players of everyone that's coming into the league. I mean, obviously, it's one of them things that if you're like really, really into it and you're a bit crazy like us, then it kind of it works. But if you're just an avid like an average viewer and you're not really that desperate to see it all, we'll just go and see a few players. I mean, like I say, there's some really exciting players that are going in the first round, and you can see them do different drills and stuff like that. So that in itself, it's worth seeing. So yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that me and you will be at the combine next year watching it. So fingers crossed for that. But till next time, keep it with the franchise tag, and we'll be back very soon.